Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and joining me now is senior writer for college football at ESPN, also is a host at SiriusXM College. He is Adam Rittenberg on X at ESPN Rittenberg. Adam, how's it going, man?
Doing great, Gabe. How you doing, man?
I am doing well. Where are you coming from? I know that you've had a busy offseason. Yeah, I know you visit a few places in the offseason to write some features and everything else.
Yeah, no, a little bit more in the next few weeks, but I was at Notre Dame earlier today and got to get a glimpse of the Irish as they get ready for, you know, a big season for Marcus Freeman, year three, and with the expanded playoff, you know, certainly that's the goal, and a very realistic goal now for Notre Dame to be part of the playoff again.
And Riley Leonard at quarterback? How about that? How should we feel about Riley Leonard making that switch?
Well, at least today it was Riley Leonard on an exercise bike. If he had to have a second procedure on his ankle, but you know, they're certainly excited about him. He's got to see him throw a little bit still, even though he's recovering. But he's a big quarterback, strong arm. He spins it well. They're actually really excited about Steve Angeli as well. You know, who finished last season as their starter after Sam Hartman you know, declared for the draft, and so they feel like they have good options. And, you know, one word that came up today was explosive, and that's what they want from their offense, which is now, you know, again under the direction of Mike Denbrock, who was there with Brian Kelly, but is now back as the offensive coordinator after overseeing an LSU offense that led the nation in pretty much every category. Obviously, Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy. So, you know, Notre Dame, again, they're very good defensively. They're very good at the line of scrimmage. Marcus, you know, again, reiterated today that they're a line of scrimmage based program. But as we both know, if you want to win a national title, or even get back to the playoff, you need to be more explosive. You need to have a downfield passing attack that threatens defenses. And you know, that's going to be really interesting to see if Notre Dame can generate that.
Now, we have plenty to talk about when it comes to, my alma mater, Memphis. They ended up getting an extension done with Ryan Silverfield, and there's a new AAC commissioner. But I do want to sort of bring up my take on Marcus Freeman and some of these guys around the country. When you talk to Marcus Freeman, I feel like when we talk about the new age of college athletics and latching on to NIL and latching on to all of these different things with the transfer portal, he's one of the few coaches that I think got hired in the past couple cycles that I think is very well able to sort of navigate these times. And I think there's guys like Dan Lanning, Kenny Dillingham, some of these young coaches with a lot of energy that are able to put up with all of the extracurriculars that come with NIL, transfer portal. Do you feel that from him when you talk with him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always make fun of what I call, you know, 1994 coaches who long for the days of what it was like in 94 when the coaches had all the control and the players had almost no control. And the advantage of all those guys you just mentioned is that, you know, they were all, you know, like in middle school back in 94 or elementary school. So they never had that reference point. So, you know, pretty much what they've known, at least in premier roles, you know, high level coordinator, head coach, has been what we have now. And I've applauded, you know, like some of the things Kenny Dillingham said, about, you know, if you want to complain, you know, there's other things you can do. Yeah, everyone talks about, well, we're going to lose all these great coaches to the NFL. To me, that makes room for more great coaches. And in some cases, you know, younger coaches or, you know, coaches from the lower ranks. You know, I spoke briefly with Kalen DeBoer today at Alabama, about, you know, what it's like going from an NAIA school to Alabama. And, you know, you don't have that sense of entitlement that, that maybe some coaches of a certain age who are used to the way that college football was for all these years, you know, maybe still have and have a hard time getting rid of. Like when you're in an NAIA school or you're a Division III school, you know, you realize how grateful you should be to have these opportunities, even though you have to deal with what's going on personnel wise, which again, I'm not endorsing it. I think it's not sustainable for any sport with the things that are going on right now in college football. But I think those younger coaches like Marcus, like Dan, like Kenny, are equipped to deal with it, because in some cases, in some ways, it's what they've known, at least as head coaches.
Yeah. Now, how do you think Ryan Silverfield is equipped to handle the next few years? I mean, he got a 5-year, $12.25 million extension. I know that there's some, you know, especially in this market, looking at that football team, there's some people that are hot and cold. Obviously, he was my O-line coach. I do have a fair amount of belief in him, especially after that 10-3 season, fourth 10-win season in program history. They beat Iowa State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, held them to 0 yards rushing. Now, it was 430 yards passing, but that's beyond the point. What do you think about this extension in general? And what do you think about Ryan and him as a head football coach at this level? And I'll get to it in a second, but this team this year, how high should people in this city be on this team in the group of five with the expanded playoff?
Right. So you're starting with Ryan. I mean, it's certainly a step forward for him last year. I think he was a guy that entered the season with a degree of pressure, in part because of the success that Memphis had and the bar that had been raised by the previous two head coaches. And was Ryan Silverfield the guy that could do that? Could he win 10 games? Could he be have a team that really your people feared in that league? And so I think, again, that was a step forward. I think he's got to keep it going. I think if Memphis doesn't win a league title in the next, you know, especially two, three years, there's going to be more pressure on him to deliver the type of results that Mike Norvell and Justin Fuente ultimately achieved there at Memphis. But I think, again, you know, step forward. You got some momentum now. You have a heck of a quarterback coming back, a lot of talent. You know, Memphis is always the type of team that you watch them play, and then you watch your teams in the, you know, so-called power conferences play. They don't look dramatically different from, you know, even in Iowa State physically. So that's what's exciting. And now you got to go out and perform. And, you know, I look at Memphis and I look at South Florida and I look at Boise State, and there's a handful of teams that, again, are not in those power conferences that people should be really excited about, given, you know, who's coaching them, what they have coming back. You know, two of those teams have really dynamic quarterbacks, and then Boise State, you know, added, you know, former nation number one recruit in Malachi Nelson from USC. So that's going to be interesting. So there's still a lot of intrigue outside of the power conferences. And, you know, if you're Memphis, wow, with Hennigan back, and knowing that there is an opportunity to get into the expanded college football playoff and be that team that lands that coveted group of five or group of however many leagues we have now spot. It's enticing. It's exciting. But again, you know, now the pressure's on because of you know, what's at stake for Memphis. But I'm really excited to watch them play this year.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I think when we look at their skill positions, that's where you have to look. I mean, they what he's done in retaining the roster is unbelievable. And I know you talk to a lot of coaches. I mean, is that one of the hardest things to do in today's day and age, especially with the court's rule, and like you can transfer wherever, seemingly you have no issues with that. You're going to have no penalties. The roster retention rate is low, and to see teams that are able to keep that continuity, those are the teams that we hold up the highest.
Right. Yeah, it's a challenge for everybody. But you know, it sounds like this upcoming transfer window in the spring is going to be especially active, even though a lot of the bigger names, especially a quarterback, you made their move in December and early January. You know, there's that opportunity to move again if things, you know, didn't go well for you in spring ball, or you got a better NIL deal, or if you had the chance to move up, you know, which is obviously possible for some of the players that Memphis has. So it's going to be interesting to see who they can keep or add. I don't think it's a team that necessarily has to add a lot out of the spring portal, but the big thing is going to be retention and getting to, you know, the summer with a good idea of who's going to be on your team, you know, the contributors, and obviously trying to maximize some of your strengths. So it's going to be a very interesting upcoming period because, you know, now, again, there's no penalty if you want to move again. If you moved in December and for whatever reason, you know, you want to move again, you can do that, which is wild to think about, that you could play a season with one team and be on two different teams before the start of the 2024 season.
No, it's kind of funny. Like, I am very much for player empowerment, but, like, back when I played ball, you couldn't transfer this easily. Yeah, so, like, for some of these guys, I don't feel all that bad, and I certainly feel like there should be some level of penalty if you transfer three, four times. And the biggest thing for me is I just don't think it's good for the athlete. I don't think it's good for the student-athlete to just be transferring to four separate schools in four separate years. I just, especially if you're not going to make it to the NFL, your credits have to transfer over, all these different things if you're trying to get a degree. Like, is there any way we can get a hold on this in the meantime, anytime soon? Because I know that, you know, there's some changes that are going to be made down the road. We know Trev Alberts just went over from Nebraska to A&M. He's trying to get a pool of money together so they can, you know, have a pay-to-play system at A&M, and likely that's going to be the case in the SEC and the Big Ten before long. But is there anything in the meantime that we can do that can sort of get a hold on the transfer portal and everything else? Because I feel like that is a big point of contention for most college football coaches.
Yeah, no, I think the ultimate solution is to go to full-blown employment, because, you know, you have a contract, I have a contract. It states very clearly, you know, the term of the contract, and that would make it easier on everybody, I think. I understand the concerns that some have about, oh my God, employment, it's this really scary thing, but it makes it so much easier, at least for the coaches, to know, hey, if I sign you to 3 years, you're going to be here for 3 years. Right. Or if I sign you for 2 years, I know after that year you have the opportunity to transfer or go pro or whatever. I know who's on. You cannot have a sport where you don't know who's on the team,
right.
You know, 3 months before the season. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, the basketball portal is going on right now.
Yep.
And while that's wild in its own right, at least for the most part, decisions are going to be made by, you know, say May 15th. And then the season doesn't start until, you know, early November. You know, with football and the spring portal and the opportunity to even transfer in the summer, it's very, very hard to know who's where, and try to prepare for your season. So I just don't think it's a sustainable model. But your question, can it be fixed anytime soon? Again, nothing really moves that quickly,
right,
even though we've had a lot of changes in this enterprise. But I just think the acceptance of where this is heading is really important.
Yeah, and what did you think of the Caden Proctor thing? I mean, this guy goes from Alabama to Iowa, 57 days, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 57 days, doesn't participate in a practice, obviously didn't participate in games, got a little bit of NIL money, and then went right back to Bama after a spring break trip and everything else. Everybody's speculating, did he have a couple of beers with his buddies at spring break? All of his teammates from Alabama then decided to go back. Maybe that's the case, but what did you think of that entire situation? I think that definitely accentuated it for a lot of people. Hey, we have a big issue here.
No doubt. And, you know, it's especially painful for a school like Iowa, which, you know, again, Caden Proctor, for those who don't know, was committed to Iowa as a high school player. Like many who have the opportunity to flip to a school like Alabama or a, you know, true top five program, he took that opportunity. But then with their coaching change, he was going to come back to his home state and play for his home state team, which, by the way, if you're a really good offensive lineman, you can make the NFL.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
You don't just have to do it at Alabama, but then, you know, money gets in the way. And, you know, certainly, yeah, there's a lot of talk about, well, he went to go see Caitlin Clark play at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And then once he was done, he moved back. And it's just tough. You know, I just talked with an assistant coach at Iowa a few minutes ago, and, you know, they're moving forward, and, you know, they're excited about, you know, some of the changes they have on offense. But man, that would have been a huge, huge addition to their offensive line, which had struggled. And, you know, again, for Alabama and Kalen and that team, you know, having him back is great. But it's just a crazy situation where you know, you can be a part of a couple of different teams in a matter of weeks, and there's really nothing that anyone can do about it. And we'll just see how many more of those examples crop up here in the spring. But it should be a very, very, you know, again, every other sport, I can't emphasize this enough, all the pro sports have designated windows over personnel moves. In college football, there's none of that right now. And I don't think it's a way that you can expect to have a sport thrive in the long term.
And it's another example. I think the people in Iowa feel this very heavily because of the Caden Proctor situation. Yeah, we have lifted up these NIL collectives, and we get our donors to throw money into it. Those Iowa folks threw in a bunch of money to that NIL collective to try to bring Caden Proctor back home, and it didn't work out. I think that discourages them in the future to be more, you know, apt to do that. Right? Like these NIL collectives, these people that donate, they're going to have to ask a bunch of questions before they actually throw that money back in there, especially in Iowa.
No doubt. And, you know, I think, again, it's why I think the whole thing will be simpler with contracts. The whole thing will be simpler with the NIL component within athletic departments as opposed to having it through these external collectives. Yeah, I was talking to someone who runs a collective at a power conference, and he was like, you know, the amount of freedom that I have is insane, and really I shouldn't have it. And in a perfect world, I wouldn't have it. But this is how it's set up, and it just kind of goes to the larger point of a sport with so little regulation and so little order right now. But you're right. I mean, those Iowa donors or you know, whoever contributed the money to get Caden Proctor, got to be very, very frustrating, and certainly you kind of wonder how they go from here, where they go from here in terms of their strategy with personnel, because Iowa hasn't been a super active program in adding transfers, but at the same time, you know, they do need some help, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So what are they going to do in the spring?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Talk with Adam Rittenberg. He is a senior college football writer for ESPN. He's on X at ESPN Rittenberg. Now, the AAC has made their hire for when Mike Oresko moves on into the sunset and retires. Tim Pernetti, former Rutgers AD, IMG Academy. He's the president there. He's got some experiences with Endeavor and IMG in general and in pro sports. What do you make of this hire? I know the one thing that is kind of interesting about his career as an AD, when he was at Rutgers, he oversaw the Mike Rice situation, and that was ultimately the end, and he ended up resigning and moving on from there because of that Mike Rice situation where they had a bunch of bullying and harassment of the basketball program at that moment. So what do you make of this hire ultimately to replace Mike Oresko?
Yeah, I think it's a strong hire. I think there's a lot of similarities. You know, I know that Mike obviously worked a long time in television, but Tim has worked in the media space and understands it, and can bring, you know, that experience as an athletic administrator from Rutgers. I think in some ways he was a bit of a fall guy for that. I don't
call
him as responsible as obviously Mike Rice himself or some of the other things. Rutgers was really a mess for a long time after his departure. And, you know, he was a guy that whose name, you know, surfaced in the Big Ten commissioner search and has been involved in some others in recent years. And so it just seemed inevitable that he would be able to get one. And I think for the American, you know, given where they are and, you know, picking up from a commissioner who really, you know, whatever you thought of Mike Oresko, you had to appreciate the fight in him and the fact that he would stand up for his league. I know that, you know, Val Ackerman took some heat after the NCAA tournament selections for not saying, you know, enough about, you know, the Big East and why they only had three teams in. And, you know, she had a different style, but you know, that was the AAC, and they had the programs that the Big East had that were left out. I think we would have been hearing from Mike Oresko with multiple statements. That's just how he rolled.
Right.
And so I think Tim will be a little bit different, but I think it was again a known name around college athletics, and is someone who was in line to get one of these jobs.
Now, Mike Oresko, yes, you mentioned he would stand up for his conference, and some people I think around the country thought he was a little too loud, and some people didn't really like the Power Six moniker. But ultimately, I mean, how do you grade his job? How do you feel about how he did when he had his hands on this conference? I think he oversaw a nice growth on the basketball side and football side until inevitably the growth led to other conferences coveting his teams, and there really was nothing he could do about that with the Big 12 swooping in and taking everything that was good. Anything at the top of the conference got sort of just taken away from him.
Yeah, I don't hold him responsible at all, especially given where the landscape is headed. And you know, I think he did well, as well as he could in certain realms. You bring up the basketball and obviously AAC basketball with UConn and for a while, and then Houston until recently. But again, these teams all get taken away in some form or fashion. With a few exceptions left over. But again, if you know the Big 12 comes after Memphis, you think Memphis is thinking twice, or South Florida, or you know?
I mean, our fans are begging for it. The fans beg for it here.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, I went there in 2014 to do a story on had Memphis positioned itself strong enough to get Big 12 consideration. So this is not a new story that's going on. And I think again, it, just like it was for Mike, it's going to be a challenge for Tim Pernetti to again deal with the transition with new members coming into the conference, but also trying to retain your top members and stay afloat as college sports divides more and more.
Now, the last thing here for Adam Rittenberg on X at ESPN Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN. I get a lot of questions because it looks like we're headed to this 14-team playoff in college football before we even play a 12-team playoff. We haven't even seen what it looks like, but everybody wants to expand seemingly to 14 at this point. And I get the question all the time when I'm out and about with friends, why? Why do people want to make this happen? Why do we want to expand by two more teams? Can you answer that question for me? I think I know the answer for the most part, but you're the expert here. Why do these schools, why do these conference commissioners want to expand before even having seen a 12-team playoff to 14?
Yeah, they want more of their teams involved, especially from the SEC and Big Ten perspective. I sat down with Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, back in February, and he said he was comparing what this 12-team playoff would be like to what it's like at the pro levels, especially the NFL. He said, if you're in the AFC or NFC, one of those teams, odds are you're going into your stretch run with a chance to make the playoff. And I think given what we've seen since, with the likelihood of this already going beyond 12, that's what those commissioners want. They want as many of their fan bases engaged in that playoff lead up. Oh, if we win this and we win this and they lose this, we're going to get into the playoff, which again is transformative for a lot of schools. Is it a huge deal for Ohio State or now Michigan to make the playoff? Not as big, but man, if you're Wisconsin or Iowa, or if you're in the SEC, if you're Ole Miss or Missouri, who came close last year, or Mississippi State, South Carolina, Tennessee, those are huge opportunities. And so, certainly the leagues with the money and the influence are trying to, game the system a little bit so that their teams are going to populate that playoff. But, my whole thing with it, and I've said this many, many times, probably on your show before, is that the whole point of a playoff is to make it national. Yep. So, and I know that the national has a different meaning now because of the Pac-12's dissolving. But if you have a playoff with the, similar teams in similar regions, You're not. It's not a true, national playoff. So I just hope with however it goes and whatever they decide are the criteria, that we'll have a playoff field that has a bit of everything, because that's been a problem at times. It's a big reason why we're at 12 teams and probably why we're going to head to 14 teams, is that you need to have a West Coast or two representative. You need to have representatives from the North and the South, and it's not just a cluster in one region of the country, because as excited as people are for this, that they could also get fatigued if the same teams are in every year.
Yeah, they want to see their region represented. They want to see their conference represented. I completely understand that. Now, how soon do you think this will happen? Relatively
well. I think probably in the next 2-3 months.
Yeah.
It just feels like the tenor of the discussions from the playoff leadership group has reached a place where they can, enact change here relatively soon.
Yeah, well, he is Adam Rittenberg on X at ESPN Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN. Adam, I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Again, Adam Rittenberg. Make sure you go follow all of his work at ESPN and ESPN.com. He also is a host for SiriusXM College.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.